anarchism is an amalgam of different ideas, and I know you want me to stress that you're representing just a small slice of it, but my understanding is that it's a political philosophy that advocates for a society based on voluntary cooperation. So how does that match up with the violence we saw on May Day in downtown Seattle with black-clad white men smashing windows?
What we also have to realize is the difference between ideology and tactics. Within the idea of the Black Bloc, what we saw in Seattle on May 1st, these tactics serve multiple purposes. One is to help radicalize those who are part of the movement. Another is a way to reassert one's power within a society built upon capitalism, built upon versions of the social contract that tell us constantly that it's consent of the governed that leads to legitimacy of government. Well, many anarchists would say that, where's my consent? You know, at what point do you consent to who's in charge of you? Is it voting? I mean, what are the limitations and the choices you have for something like that? You know, what are limitations for someone to even be able to run for political office?
I just wish that after an action like that takes place, there's a manifesto or a tract that I could read to say, here's why we did this.
Well, as a researcher, I do as well. You know, content analysis is always great for a project. And groups, some groups have been really adamant about doing that. Groups like Earth Liberation Front had a press office, and they made sure there was a press release that went along with every action to detail what the historical issues were, what the current economic issues were, and why they decided to resort to that tactic.
Give us some history of anarchism.
Yeah, well, anarchism, there's debates about kind of who starts it and who it boils down to. Some of the bigger names are Bakunin, a Russian theorist who's a contemporary of Karl Marx, who discussed essentially different steps to overcoming capitalism. But then you also have really interesting characters, especially in the American historical perspective. Folks like Emma Goldman. She was an Eastern European immigrant who came to the United States, who was well-versed in the tenets of anarchism, wrote prolifically on the subject, really talked about the three kind of institutional powers that dominate human beings. For her, those were religion, property, and government. And that each of these coercive forces removes some element of choice, of free thinking. And then the other one, probably the most famous, who isn't necessarily always associated with anarchism, is Henry David Thoreau, who's very much in more of the individualistic rather than the collective realm of understanding anarchism, but about self-sufficiency, about government simply as a tool that when it's outlived its helpfulness, needs to be cast aside.
Do you know what the significance is of wearing black?
During labor strikes, sometimes labor strikes wear them as a sign of mourning for fellow workers who were beaten up by police or were killed in these struggles. Others have talked about, you know, black as being the color of no real country, right? Having a black flag without any type of indication demonstrates a commitment to a lack of government or a lack of, you know, course of power, and, you know, just the obscuring of identity that black provides.
So on May 1st, and also when I was reporting on the WTO protest 13 years ago, the anarchists, the violence that came out of their protests seemed to take the attention away from a lot of the legitimate issues that the labor unions and the immigrant rights people and even various Labor Day groups wanted to focus on that day. So what would the anarchists say to them?
We sometimes forget that there's a clear history of property violence as a tactic of political activism in the United States. I mean, the touchstone typically is something like the Boston Tea Party. But beyond that, on either side of issues, right or left, you see these historical events during Prohibition era. You see women coming into saloons with hatchets and demolishing the place in protest of people not abiding by local prohibition laws.
Conceptually, it's all super interesting, but the smashed windows, and I know it's property, okay, it's not a bloody head, with the A,
it's not a head on a pipe,
you know,
somewhere.
With the circle, when I see that, it's like no one's safe.
There's definitely an element that's upsetting about that for any of us to see destruction of private property in some way and to internalize, you know, if what if this happened to us, or what if this was, you know, directly related to us and we're directly suffering at the hands of this. And there's plenty of anarchists. I'd say the vast majority of people who are self-described who disavow any type of violence. But I think it's important that we have these conversations and ask why, not to justify, not to say this is what we should all be doing, but to really try to understand why individuals feel that these links are necessary to get a political, an economic, a social message across.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you very much.